Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and live from Bijan Robinson's doctor's office, it's the Fourth and Inches show with Jenna and the Sherpa. Jenna, how are you this week?
I was not as badly burned by Bijan Robinson as many people in the world were, thankfully. I'm actually feeling pretty good because I put Deontay Foreman on a couple of fantasy teams before this week, so I'm feeling like I might know what I'm doing right now.
Kudos to you.
How are you doing, Sherpa? Well, in all fairness, one of them was on a team that also started Deshaun Watson, who put up a negative 1.8 points. So Deontay Foreman essentially was my quarterback this week. It's not all good news here. Could be worse. But yeah. How are you? How are your teams doing, other than your Giants?
The Giants, they actually won a game this past weekend, which was nice. They have a good shot to win another one this coming weekend in their quadrennial rivalry game against the Jets. And we'll see. Fantasy-wise, I had a pretty good week two. Feeling pretty badly and won the contest, and then had the Kirk Cousins-Jordan Addison combo last night that gave me the victory, so that was nice.
We'll take it. A little Monday night victory. That's always nice. We like that.
Snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. Yes.
Somebody's
got to
do it.
Yes.
Well, we've got an action-packed show tonight, as we do every week. I mean, how could anyone say otherwise? But we'll be here with you guys for a full hour until 8 p.m. Eastern time, so you can sneak off and watch some baseball or hockey after us. But we will give you everything you need to win your Week 8 matchup, be it in daily fantasy, season-long, dynasty leagues, just trash-talking at the water cooler. We've got you covered. We'll give you who to start, who to sit, your injuries, who to pick up on the waiver wire to fix some of these injury problems. We'll give you game winners, like I said, your daily fantasy picks as well. If an hour isn't enough, because quite frankly, how could it be? You can find us all over social media. We're on Twitter/X at the number 4 THN Inches Show. That's the number 4 THN Inches Show. You can also find us at JKIM16 and Fantasy_Sherpa. I'm sure you can figure out who's who there. You can find us on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page, and you can email us at the number 4 THN Inches Show at gmail.com. And you can find us anywhere you find your favorite podcast. There are over 200 episodes. We've been here for 14 years. If this is your first time, where have you been? And, of course, if you missed any of this, you tuned in late, you're here after the fact, it's fine. Download us anywhere you like. We're all over the place. The nice thing is this week that we are out of Bimageddon. It's not quite as bad out there as it was. It was a tough week between injuries and buys. This week it's getting a little better, but you know we're not quite all the way there. We definitely still have some big name injuries, and we do have another. Well, no, we're actually not overseas. We're not in Germany yet, I guess. So we're okay. We're all in America this week.
Next week, I think.
Are
we doing
so we'll take
week
it
tonight, or is that next week?
I think we're doing it next week. I think we'll do it, like, on the actual day. We'll give you some tricks and treats. Hopefully some candy as well.
Okay.
But we do want to hear from you guys as well. If you have any players you want to nominate for tricks and treats this year, as we always do very festively, feel free to send them our way, and we'll have that for you next week as well. So we got all kinds of good stuff. What were you saying about our boy Blue? Or unofficial mascot.
He has actually entered himself and me in a Halloween photo contest for best duo.
Love
so
it.
We'll see. I got dressed up as King Kong and he was Blu-ray, so we'll see whether that cuts the mustard or not. He looked pretty scared, so I'm guessing we might get points deducted for that.
Oh, it's authentic. It'd be fine.
He is
everywhere. He's an international cat of mystery, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Maybe
not
if
sure
we're lucky,
he
he'll grace us with our presence. He might not.
Mm-hmm.
Mia's here asleep at the switch, so things are pretty normal here at the Fourth of Ninja Show. We'll get the worst of it out of the way first, and that is the always lovely injury portion of our show. There are some. There always are. It's a tough week to be a tight end. Also a tough week to be a tight end on any of my fantasy rosters. So let's start with Zach Ertz out in Arizona. He was put on the injured reserve today with a strained quadricep that he sustained this weekend on Sunday. So he's going to be out at least the next 4 weeks. Not great. Not great. He is the leading target getter on the Cardinals right now. So someone else is going to have to step up. Look at it, you, Hollywood Brown.
Makes it virtually impossible. He's going to get traded at the deadline next week.
Very tough to trade him. Very tough at this point because you're just going to pay him to hang out for 3 weeks. But what are you going to do? It's just one of many problems the Cardinals
Miami
have.
Maybe Miami can afford that, but probably any other team. The Eagles might want him back, but who knows?
The Eagles would always want him back. He's beloved in Philadelphia. But Dallas Goedert did run him out of town. He's looking pretty good.
He's
also in Arizona.
Too,
yeah, he also is. We're not wrong. It's tough to be tight end anymore. But also our weekly Kyler Murray update. He is still coming back from that knee injury. May not be reinstated from the PUP list till after the Week 10 game. So he took some first-team reps this week at practice, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me if we're still 3 weeks out. But I guess good luck, Joshua Dobbs. That's a tough nut to crack there. So feel free to stash Kyler Murray if you're feeling really, really wild on your fantasy team. In Atlanta, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Bijan Robinson caused a little bit of a stir, but really Arthur Blank caused a little bit of a stir. Old Bijan did not get any carries in the first half of the game last week, and reporters were like, hey, what's going on? And Arthur Blank, without thinking, because if you had been thinking, you wouldn't have said this, said, he's not feeling that great. We'll see how it goes. And then the NFL came a call in because he was not on the injury report. He is sick. He did carry the ball once for a whole 3 yards. People are cranky, understandably so. They say he was not on the injury report because there was no doubt that he would play all 3 yards of his production. So he is expected to play this week. He's expected to kick whatever cold, flu-like situation he has going on and be on the mend and an active part of this roster as he allegedly was last week as well. So I suspect the Falcons are going to be getting a letter at some point in the near future, though we did let Tom Brady be on the injury report for 3 years before anyone asked any questions. So maybe we're not that worried.
Didn't he have a bad arm or something? Wasn't that the thing?
Yeah, it was his right shoulder, his throwing shoulder.
Yeah.
It was sore every week.
I guess it didn't bother him that much, except when he played in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, threw for 500 yards
and
still lost.
Yeah, a little bit then. It seemed like that might have bothered him, but yeah, so I don't know how strict we're really being on this whole injury report thing, but it was a nice little headline today. Mostly people are cranky because they didn't make their parlays or they left the fantasy league. So mostly just gamblers. In Baltimore, they put a beatdown on the Motor City Dan Campbell last week and actually managed to stay pretty healthy throughout, with the exception of running back Keaton Mitchell. They say avoided a substantial hamstring strain. He just has a run-of-the-mill hamstring strain. He's going to be, quote, week to week, as we all are. So keep an eye on that. They're dealing with a couple injuries to the secondary. Oh, yeah. I mean, at this point, I might be minute to minute.
Sorry to hear that. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help, besides reading the injury report.
Because nobody wants to be doing this. Also, the Baltimore secondary is pretty beat up, but stop me if you've heard that song before. We'll keep moving into Buffalo. Also, another good place that you don't want to be a tight end in. Dawson Knox is going to be having some wrist surgery this week. Doubtful to play this weekend. Not ruled out because he's crazy, and he thinks maybe he could still catch a football. I don't put it past them to try, but I don't think you should be starting him in your lineup. Let's just stay away from this one, guys. Collectively, we'll all decide this together. Running back Damian Harris, who we talked about last week, scary moment with the concussion and neck injury. He was officially put on IR over the weekend with that concussion slash back injury. So he'll be out for the next 4 weeks, which, quite frankly, it looks like his body probably could use. And if you are in any way, shape, or form a defensive tackle or linebacker, you're probably also on the Bills injury report right now. Hopefully some of you get a little healthier come this week because a few of you are going to need to play. Down in Carolina, coming off a little bit of a bye week here, but we still not entirely sure who's going to be playing running back, despite having a whole week to try to figure this out, Carolina. They're saying that, so Miles Sanders is dealing with a shoulder injury. He was inactive the week before the bye, and so he's trending towards being healthy-ish. Not all the way healthy, just a little healthy. So they're going to go, quote, a little by committee going forward between Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard, which sounds like not good fantasy points for either of them. So take that with what you will. See if Miles Sanders actually makes it through a whole week of practice and prepare accordingly. Pretty much the majority of their safeties also are questionable this week, and I don't mean in play, just in health. Not shooting any shots at you guys. In Chicago, Justin Fields still dealing with the dislocated thumb. He is officially doubtful and trending towards not playing for this week, which would mean Tyson Bagent. I never know how to say this right. There you go. He is going to probably be QB1 for, I like that, secret Bagent. Makes up a lot. It looks like he's going to be QB1 this week for the Bears again. Hopefully Justin Fields' thumb heals up fast. I would like him to be able to hold a football again, but old Tyson's secret Bagent did pretty well last week. I have to say, got himself a W. Also, injury-wise, we're looking at tackle Braxton Jones is dealing with a neck injury. He might get designated to return from IR this week, so keep an eye on that. A few healthier bodies on the O-line would be nice. Guard Nate Davis is not going to play. He is dealing with an ankle injury. Running back Roshon Johnson is in the concussion protocol, but they're optimistic that he will be back this week, so keep an eye on that because, again, not a lot of healthy humans on this team right now, unfortunately. And also keep an eye out on their quarterbacks and their secondary pretty much in general are also pretty banged up. So a little tough for the Bears right now. Not as bad as some, but worse than others. In Cincinnati, really just looking at a couple of linebackers on the injury report. Nothing too crazy there. Still not Joe Burrow on the injury report, which, again, raises some questions. But I guess we've all just left the calf injury in the past. In Cleveland, Deshaun Watson, who decided to try to light my fantasy team on fire this week, didn't appreciate that. In all fairness, threw 5 passes, including an interception, and then opted out of the rest of the game, said that they didn't put him back in to protect him, but PJ Walker's life does not matter, so we let him go. they're going to continue to send for some testing. I was loving when they say it like that, like, we're going to protect him. So this guy, he's expendable. He's going out there.
Exactly. He doesn't have a $250 million guaranteed contract.
Damn, way to make PJ not feel like he's all that in a bag of chips, but okay. So PJ was sacrificed for the greater good, I guess, and Deshaun Watson might have some more tests done. They're not really sure. Maybe he re-injured some stuff in his shoulder. Maybe he just hit his head a little too hard. Maybe he didn't feel like playing football. I don't know. Hard to say. But they're going to keep an eye on it. They're not sure if he's going to play this week. If he doesn't, it'll be PJ Walker. Running back Jerome Ford is doubtful coming into this week. He is dealing with a low-grade high right ankle sprain. So low-grade high ankle sprain. Say that fast.
Got it.
He's likely going to be out for 1 to 2 weeks. So probably not going to see him. It's going to be the Kareem Hunt show this week, which it kind of was last week anyway. Moving on into Dallas. Everyone's still hurt from last week. and before the bye week. So still a bunch of guys we need on IR, still are on IR. Nobody new or fresh. So we're going to just keep rolling here. In Denver, another tight end rostered by one Jana is hitting the IR again. Greg Dulcich, we hardly knew you. You came off IR a game and a half later. You're back on IR. Ugh. Anyway, he's dealing with a hamstring injury. It's nothing personal to me, apparently. But he's going to be out at least the next 4 weeks. And hopefully we'll be back after that.
You should sign Tim Tebow and sign Colin Kaepernick to throw to him.
Yes. Yes. Perfect.
I would make them watch CTV. Yes.
I would watch that. I would definitely watch that. I mean, granted, my standards are low. I watch Cowboys games every week, but I would definitely watch that. So Greg Dulcich will not be playing football for the foreseeable future. And Kaywan Williams at cornerback is having another surgery yesterday, actually, and probably will not be back this season. So they're a little light in the cornerback world as it is and getting lighter now. Out in Detroit, they got their feelings hurt. They got their pride hurt. A couple of other people also got injured. DJ Gardner-Johnson still on IR, not coming off yet. David Montgomery is still dealing with a rib cartilage injury, probably going to be out again this week. I know we had a week. We were hoping it wouldn't be this long. It doesn't sound like he's on track to play this week, so have a plan B. Also, Marvin Jones Jr. at wide receiver has released a statement today that he is stepping away from the team for the remainder of the year to deal with a personal matter. His season is done. He's going to be rooting for the team, but he will not be adding value to your fantasy team or your daily fantasy team. So good luck to him and whatever's going on, but you do need to find a new wide receiver. We'll help you with that in a little bit. And Khalif Raymond at wide receiver as well was knocked out of the game with a hamstring injury. He's questionable coming into the week. And linebacker Malcolm Rodriguez, questionable as well. He was knocked out of the game with an ankle injury. They're also dealing with a couple injuries to their cornerbacks and their guards. So things didn't get a whole lot better even after that game ended for them. But bounce back week. Fighting Motor City, Dan Campbell's habit in them. In Green Bay, things were good and things are now very injured. Christian Watson came back, was a healthy human for a period of time, and has now appeared to injure his right knee. They are, quote, optimistic he is going to play this week. I am less optimistic about that and very much not optimistic about his chances of making it through a whole game. So maybe try to see what's out there just in case you don't want to get burned by Christian Watson on your roster this week. Tight end Luke Musgrave, who was in a walking boot when he left the stadium. That's an ankle injury that was part of the whole situation with guys getting ejected and this and that. But he rolled his ankle a little awkwardly, very up in the air on the severity of it. It's going to go down to the end of the week. And they are also going to be without a couple of cornerbacks and safeties. Safety Darnell Savage is out, going to be out multiple games with a calf injury. Quarterback Eric Stokes is dealing with a hamstring injury. He's likely not playing this week. And cornerback Jair Alexander, who has not played the last couple of games, is not looking like a whole lot healthier yet, dealing with that back injury. So keep an eye on him as well. Oh, we're almost there, guys. Out in Houston, Tank Dell, coming out of the concussion protocol, took part in unofficial practice today. They think he's going to be back this week, barring any kind of a setback, which is huge for the Texans and people around the world named Tank in general, which just is pretty badass. In Indianapolis, Anthony Richardson has officially decided he is not going to play again this season. He is having season-ending surgery to address a grade 3 AC joint sprain in his right shoulder. So the Gardner Minshew mania rolls on, people. Get excited. He will be.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers will challenge him to come back before the season ends, or no?
Aaron Rodgers seems to think he's going to be back before the season ends. I don't know if I believe Aaron Rodgers.
Anthony Richardson to do the same thing.
Maybe.
I know it's a different injury.
I mean, but still, like, it's a more feasible injury than a ruptured Achilles tendon. I mean, people are playing through that injury right now. Like, it's happening. They're playing right this minute. I don't know. Maybe it's a different setup of how his tear is or something. I don't know, but I hope he has a speedy recovery and he comes back fast, and I hope Jordan Love doesn't get hurt because my dynasty team is out of quarterbacks again. We're already out of tight ends. Thanks, Greg Dulcich. Anyway, moving out of the Janus-centric portion of our injury report. Anthony Richardson is done for the season, so we do have Gardner Minshew, which is the gift that keeps on giving. Really, the majority of the injuries are on the defensive side of the ball for the Colts, particularly defensive tackles, cornerbacks. Keep an eye on those and just prepare accordingly when you're making your defensive rankings. A lot of injuries here. In Jacksonville, wide receiver Zay Jones is still day-to-day with a knee injury. That very much will go down to game time. So, again, have a plan B. In Kansas City, linebacker Nick Bolton is going to have surgery after dislocating his wrist Sunday. He's going to miss probably 2 months. Wide receiver Justin Watson is still questionable with his own elbow injury. He did not play last week. I'm sure you guys all noticed amongst all the Taylor Swift hubbub that Justin Watson wasn't on the field, but keep an eye out for him, guys. He's healing. He's healing up. In Las Vegas, we have a whole lot of hurt feelings by one Davante Adams, who doesn't think he's getting the ball enough, but he is healthy and on the field, unlike quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, who is still questionable with a sore back. They're hoping to get a little more clarity as this week goes on, so for you Jimmy G owners, keep an eye on the news wires on Thursday and Friday, get a better idea of if he's going to be in your lineup or not. Probably not, but there's a chance. Out in Los Angeles, Chargers lost their tight end, Gerald Everett, there we go, on Sunday during the game at Kansas City. He's got a quad injury. He is questionable, and he is going to be questionable all week long, so we're not going to know right up until game time. Wide receiver Jalen Guyton is going to be out. He is not coming off the PUP list in week 7, coming back off that ACL injury, so don't all rush to grab him off the waiver wire just yet. Also, keep an eye on their secondary, a little bit banged up there as well. The Rams running back Kyren Williams is officially on injured reserve with that ankle injury, so he's going to be shut down for 4 weeks. Not great for the Rams, but keep on coming. Also dealing with a couple of injuries to the defensive line. Dolphins cornerback is Xavien Howard. We thought maybe was going to play on Sunday. He did not get cleared. He's still dealing with that knee injury, so maybe next week, aka this week. Also, Jalen Ramsey did not come off IR ahead of this game. They were optimistic he would as well. He's dealing with his own knee injury, so keep an eye on those two. That would definitely be a boost for the cornerback room and the defensive room as a whole for the Dolphins, who could really do with slowing some teams down so they don't have to score 70 points every game. In Minnesota, wide receiver Josh Naylor is officially on injured reserve with hamstring injury. He's thinking maybe, just maybe, about coming off of injured reserve, but I don't see that happening this week. So keep an eye on it if you're really, really deep looking for a wide receiver, and your pickings are slim. We'll get to that in just a minute. Patriots wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster is still in the concussion protocol. He did not play last week. Also, keep an eye on most of their offensive linemen. Everybody is questionable. Everybody is banged up, and that is not a recipe for success for one Mac Jones. In New Orleans, biggest name on the list here, tight end Juwan Johnson. Dennis Allen says he's hoping to have him back in the lineup this Saturday against the Colts. He's dealing with a calf injury. Does not seem to be too serious, but still something to keep an eye on. And in New York with Sherpa's Giants, the winning New York Giants, quarterback Daniel Jones, still not medically cleared from this neck injury. As it stands now, T-Mobile Tyrod Taylor is probably still going to be under center this week, barring some kind of miraculous Wednesday, Thursday. Running back Saquon Barkley hyperextended his left elbow during the game. He says he's going to be, quote, all right for the game this week against the Jets. And running back Gary Brightwell was knocked out of the game with a hamstring injury. He's questionable going into the weekend. As was running back Aaron Gray. He is questionable with a calf injury, so a little soft tissue action for the running back room, unfortunately. And worth noting, cornerback Adoree Jackson also questionable right now, as are several of the offensive linemen. So run fast, Tyrod. Run fast and far. So that's the advice I got for you. The Jets are dealing with pretty much every cornerback on the roster being listed on their injury report. Most notably, Sauce Gardner, still in the concussion protocol as of yesterday. So we are optimistic he'll be off and playing this weekend, but you can't be sure, so keep an eye on it. The Eagles are dealing with their own defensive woes. Looks like they're going to be out a couple of guys, particularly safety Reed Blankenship, who's dealing with a rib injury. For the foreseeable future, they went as far as to acquire safety Kevin Byard from the Titans today for safety Terrell Edmonds, a 2024 fifth and sixth round draft pick. So they're looking for healthy bodies today, and they got one. Also, Jalen Hurts popped up on the injury report. He's got a knee injury, is not expected to impact his practice or game time. He's a little banged up, but no cause for alarm here. In Pittsburgh, yet another tight end bites the dust. Pat Freiermuth is back on the injured reserve with a hamstring injury, so he is shut down for another 4 weeks. Literally almost every tight end that I have on my rosters is now on IR, so things are going swimmingly. The 49ers are going to be without wide receiver Deebo Samuel again this week. He's dealing with a hairline fracture in his shoulder. They said maybe only a couple of weeks. It's really going to depend how this feels and pain tolerance-wise. So it doesn't look like he'll be playing this week. Also worth noting that tackle Trent Edwards is dealing with an ankle injury, a moderately severe one. He didn't play on Monday. See how he goes as the rest of the week goes on here. In Seattle, another big name we missed last week, wide receiver DK Metcalf with the hip and rib injuries. Did not play, not participating in practice. Keep an eye on it. It'll be a game-time decision again, so have a plan B. Also, their starting center, Evan Brown, is dealing with a hip injury. He didn't play last week either. This is part of why people get to Geno Smith so easily. I'd like to get him back in the lineup to get Geno's numbers back up. Running back Zach Charbonnet is questionable with a hamstring injury. He was also inactive last week. Keep an eye on that, as well as most of their defense. Unfortunately, the defense is pretty much always injured in Seattle, so sorry about that, guys. In Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield is officially listed as questionable with a knee injury. He was limited at practice today, as was wide receiver C.J. Godwin, who is dealing with a neck injury. In better news, running back Chase Edmonds has been designated to return from IR on Monday, so he could make his debut this weekend. We'll see how this first week of practice goes for him, but if you have him stashed, waiting for him to get healthy, now might be your time to shine, people. And in Tennessee, quarterback Ryan Tannehill, the biggest name on the injury report here, he is questionable with that ankle injury. They are coming off a bye week, but it still doesn't seem like it's sounding a whole heck of a lot better. They're saying that if he can't play, they may play both Will Levis and Malik Willis in his spot, so not necessarily one over the other. But in better news, wide receiver Treylon Burks, who has missed the last three games prior to their bye with a knee injury, was fully practicing all last week. So it looks like he's going to be good to go for this weekend, which is great. Nice little flex option for you. And with the Washington Commanders, just a couple of names to note. Safety Jeremy Reeves is undergoing surgery on a partially torn ACL. He is going to be done for the year. He's on IR now. And linebacker Cody Barton is dealing with a high ankle sprain. So this defense needs to kind of get it together. There are several more guys banged up, but those are the most notable of the bunch. Do you think there's anyone left out there on the waiver wire for us? Or do you think it's got to be Tim Tebow and Colin Kaepernick for my team now, Sherpa? What do you think?
No, I have some suggestions for your tight end wallets, but
thank you, because it is rough out here.
Let's start off with running backs, as we usually do. For me, the top two names this week are Jeff Wilson Jr. in Miami and Daryl Henderson mm-hmm. Jr. with the Rams. Just some maybes if you're looking further down in the piles and dumpster diving for running backs on the waiver wire. Justice Hill, Latavius Murray, Joshua Kelly, Kenneth Gainwell, Royce Freeman, and Cam Akers all widely available. Some other guys that I like more than them, but I don't like their matchups this week include Tajay Spears with Tennessee, Jaleel McLaughlin with Denver, Rashawn Johnson with the Bears, Ezekiel Elliott, Jamal Williams with the Saints, and Amari DeMicardo with Arizona. It's a pretty long list, but I would say that I know Daryl Henderson probably at the top of most people's list because he got the bulk of the carries for the Rams last week. But I just think that Jeff Wilson, you know, with the Dolphins, is likely, you know, he's part of a higher octane offense. And I think that bodes well for him this week. Yeah, I could see that game being a blowout and him getting a substantial amount of playing time in the second half.
Yeah, yeah, I can see it. I think it's a good, very good option.
Okay, wide receiver-wise, the one that stands out head and shoulders above the rest for me this week is Josh Downs in Indianapolis. Some others that I like okay and the matchups are okay this week are Tutu Atwell with the Rams, Jaden Reed with Green Bay, Downs teammate Alec Pierce with Indianapolis, Marquez Valdez-Scantling with the Chiefs, although I'm reluctant to recommend any Chiefs wide receiver because there's just no consistency from week to week there. Jake Bobo, who popped up in the DK Metcalf's stead for Seattle last week and had a nice game. Brandon Powell, who's now the de facto third wide receiver with Minnesota. Jalen Hyatt with the Giants, who seems to every other week or so have two catches for 70 or 80 yards. Juwan Jennings filling in for Deebo Samuel in San Francisco. And then a couple of Ravens who were seemingly rejoined us from the football dead. And that would be Odell Beckham Jr. and Nelson Aguilar, who didn't drop anything this week.
Nelson Aguilar is getting a lot of targets over the last couple of weeks, like way more than he should. But the volume's there. And, like, Lamar's going to throw the ball. You might as well pick him up.
Yeah, I think it all boils down to, you know, how good is Lamar going to be from week to week. If he can be at all close to what he was this past week, then, yeah, not only do you have an NFL, you know, an MVP caliber quarterback, you know, running your team, but, you know, that should everybody on the you know, fantasy side should eat as well.
Yeah.
So quarterback-wise, you'll be happy to know that head and shoulders above the rest for me this week is the one and only Gardner Minshew. I'm sure that makes you happy.
Yes, you're seeing the light.
I have. He's not necessarily the best real-world option, but in fantasy, those interceptions only count to minus 2 points instead of minus 6 or 7.
Thankfully.
other options that I could see rolling with if he's not available would be Kenny Pickett with Pittsburgh and Tyrod Taylor with the Giants. Some other options that don't like the matchups as well this week would be Derek Carr with New Orleans, Joshua Dobbs with Arizona, Baker Mayfield with Tampa Bay. Also, they're playing Thursday night this week against Buffalo. It's not a desirable matchup. And then Mac Jones, fresh off the victory, but heading down to Miami against a team that just got trounced by the Eagles and is probably not in a good mood. So don't like those guys. And I'm a little bit on the opposite side of the Kyler Murray issue. I know he's not supposed to be back till at earliest week 10, but if you're riding with somebody like Deshaun Watson as your second quarterback, especially if your team, if your league has IR spots, I wouldn't mind trying to stash somebody like that now and hoping that maybe he is an upgrade over Deshaun Watson in a few weeks. Or if you've got Jimmy Garoppolo and that's either who you're starting or your backup quarterback, Kyler Murray could potentially be an upgrade for the last 5 weeks of the fantasy regular season.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Okay, and now getting to tight ends, Jenner's source of need. The two that I like the most there this week are Dalton Kincaid with Buffalo especially in light of Dawson Knox's injury and then Jonnu Smith with Atlanta, which for the life of me, I can't figure out how he's as involved in their offense as he is when Kyle Pitts there.
I don't understand it.
Better not to argue with it. Just go with it and see what that can do for your team. And some others that are widely available, although I don't like their matchups as much this week, would be Logan Thomas with Washington, Kate Otten with Tampa Bay, Taysom Hill with New Orleans, Trey McBride with Arizona, Hunter Henry and Mike Gesicki. He had the walk-off game-winning touchdown catch last week.
Mike Gesicki's not dead. He's not dead.
He's
still here.
And then Foster Moreau with the Saints. So those are all, in my mind, lesser options. And then Gerald Everett and Luke Musgrave, buyer beware there, just because of the injury status. Although I like both their matchups this week.
They're
is
good
there
matchups.
Anybody there that's available
there
to you, or are your leagues so deep that none of those guys would be around?
Oh, I mean, in our one dynasty league, I'm just toast. I'm starting Tommy Tremble, which is not where you want to be. really
not
ideal. But no, you know, it is what it is. I do have some options in my other league. I like Dalton Kincaid a lot. He was getting targets even before Dawson Knox was knocked out of the game. So I think that may be the direction I'm going in.
Okay, and then finally, if you're looking to stream a defense this week, a number of good options, Atlanta on the road against Tennessee, Miami home to New England, Chargers home against the Bears, Giants, whose defense has surprisingly played pretty well the last couple weeks, although, you know, at least this past week, opponent not necessarily the greatest. Although Buffalo, that was impressive 2 weeks ago. But anyway, they're seeing the off-the-bye week Jets, Jacksonville at Pittsburgh, Houston at Carolina, Minnesota at Green Bay, and Indianapolis home against New Orleans, and a matchup that I don't like quite as much, but Tennessee versus home against Atlanta is also out there for the taking in most leagues.
There you go. Yeah, got some good options.
Okay, so shall we start hitting the top 10 and 10 to avoid lists?
Let's get crazy. Let's do it.
All right. How about running backs? Who do you like this week?
Hard not to like Christian McCaffrey, even if his whatever oblique is not healthy. It looks pretty darn good, and so does the matchup. So Christian McCaffrey is the top of my list. Tony Pollard for the Cowboys actually sneaking all the way up to number 2. Austin Eckler at 3, Alvin Kamara at 4, and Jahmyr Gibbs rounding out my top 5. Travis Etienne, Isaiah Pacheco, Saquon Barkley, Raheem Mostert, and Kenneth Walker, rounding out my top 10.
Okay. For me, I have DeAndre Swift at the top of my list, which is more an indictment on Washington's defense and the fact that I think that either they're literally going to run all over them, the Commanders this week.
I think it's nice that you think the Eagles will have it together enough to be like, we should use our best running back and just run him instead of like, let's have Kenneth Gainwell take a quarter. I don't trust them.
All right, I'm going to...
Anyway.
I guess we can argue where you place him, but I definitely think he's a top 10 option for this week. Travis Etienne, Joe Mixon, Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, who I think looked like he was finally hitting his stride this past week.
Yeah.
I know Zach Moss isn't going away, but I still think that as he plays more, Jonathan Taylor is going to continue to get the bulk of the... He's going to, you know, regain the bulk of the carries there. Raheem Mostert, Austin Eckler, who I expect to bounce back from that poor showing this past week, Isaiah Pacheco, Tony Pollard, and Kenneth Walker, honorable mentions to Jahmyr Gibbs, Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson, Najee Harris, and James Cook.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Nice honorable mention.
How about your
running
back who's gracing that?
Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard et al. I don't want to play the shenanigans here. Also staying away from Javonte Williams. I just think they're going to have to throw the ball. Najee Harris, I don't love the matchup. Jaylen Warren, again, don't love the matchup, don't love the touches. Devin Singletary, Justice Hill, Latavius Murray, Craig Reynolds. That's it. I did it. Got my 10.
I've got Alvin Kamara at the top of my avoid list for this week. Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Brian Robinson, Ramondre Stevenson. I also agree with the Miles Sanders, Chuba Hubbard combo and the Javonte Williams, Jaleel McLaughlin combo. Also not high on the Rashawn Johnson, Dante Foreman combo. Jamal Williams with New Orleans and Rashad White with Tampa Bay. Don't like their matchups. And Amari DeMarcado with Arizona. Don't like the matchup either this week.
All right. Let's get crazy and look at old wide receivers.
Okay. Top of the list for me this week, in the recommended list, top 10, is Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, Stephon Diggs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Keenan Allen, Jordan Addison, Michael Pittman, and Tyler Lockett rounding out my top 10. Honorable mentions, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, Zay Flowers, Christian Kirk, and Drake London.
Really like Zay Flowers. Really want him to finally hit his stride. We have a lot of overlap. I've got Tyreek Hill at 1, A.J. Brown at 2. For me, Stephon Diggs is at 3, Ja'Marr Chase is at 4. Just more the matchup there for me. And Cooper Kupp rounding out my top 5. Keenan Allen, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Adam Thielen, Brandon Ayuk, and CeeDee Lamb rounding out the top 10 here.
Okay, for me, I've got DJ Moore at the top of my avoid list for this week. Davante Adams, Chris Olave, I assume he won't be in jail. Mike Evans.
Here's hoping.
Chris Godwin, DeAndre Hopkins, Adam Thielen, Kendrick Bourne, Michael Thomas, and Terry McLaurin, rounding out my 10 to avoid, and dishonorable mentions to Marquise Brown and the Jerry Judy Cortland Sutton combo.
Well, we do have overlap. I also have the Jerry Judy Cortland Sutton combo platter on my void list. This Broncos team doesn't work for me. Put Greg Dulcich on IR. I'm not at all bitter about this. Chris Olave landed on my avoid list as well, even if he's not in jail for speeding and crimes. He probably is a little distracted this week, and he doesn't have a great defensive matchup. Christian Kirk, George Pickens, DK Metcalf, healthy or not, he can't breathe well enough to run as fast as he needs to run. It is really just that simple. Tyler Boyd, Elijah Moore, although if Deshaun Watson decided to play and play a whole game, I would think Elijah Moore moves much closer to a start than a sit for me. Odell Beckham Jr., Jahad Dotson, DJ Chark, Rashid Shaheed, and Rondale Moore rounding out my top 10-ish.
Okay, how about quarterbacks for the Elite this week?
Love Lamar Jackson. I know it can't be this every week, but I think we're finally finding our groove here. A little bit biased, but I think he's got a good chance to win and put up some points against this Arizona team. Patrick Mahomes comes in at number 2 because, as far as I know, Taylor Swift is still involved with Travis Kelce, and they don't seem to lose when that happens. So putting Mahomes up on the list. Jalen Hurts coming in at 3 for me. Justin Herbert and Josh Allen rounding out the top 5, followed very closely by Tua Tagovailoa, C.J. Stroud, who I am very excited to watch him play football. Very, very into it this year. Jared Goff, going to bounce back from an ugly game. Brock Purdy and Kirk Cousins sneaking into the top 10 this week.
I'm guessing that given that it's supposed to be a chance of snow in Denver this week, I think that Taylor will probably not be making the trip.
Who knows? I guess we'll find out how far the good luck charm will extend. Time zones, state lines, maybe. We're going to find out.
So Patrick Mahomes is at the top of my list. Tua Tagovailoa, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Kirk Cousins, and Dak Prescott rounding out my top 10. Honorable mentions to Gardner Minshew and Geno Smith.
Gardner, getting some love. Look at that. You're feeling very benevolent today.
How about your quarterback to avoid, who's on your list?
I'm feeling very not benevolent here. Desmond Ridder. I'm really, really done with Desmond Ridder. I'm sorry, I'm still not picking the Falcons to win a game. Tyson Bagent, not going to do it. Daniel Jones, healthy, not healthy. I don't love this. Derek Carr, Bryce Young, Deshaun Watson, / PJ Walker, / DTR, / whoever wants to play football for the Cleveland Browns. Kenny Pickett, Zach Wilson, Brian Hoyer, Jimmy Garoppolo et al., anyone who plays quarterback for Tennessee. So I'm taking entire regions onto my avoid list, I think.
Southeast.
Yeah, yeah, I just took a whole part of the country away. Sorry, guys.
So for me, Baker Mayfield is top of my avoid list, tough matchup in the Thursday night game. Bryce Young, continuing with the Southeast theme. Mac Jones, who's not from the Southeast, but is playing in the Southeast this week. Derek Carr, Sam Howell, Joshua Dobbs, Russell Wilson, Tyson Bagent, the Brian Hoyer, Aiden O'Connell combo, which I guess isn't a combo because only one of them presumably would be playing at a time, and Ryan Tannehill finishing out my Southeast bias this week.
That's fair. Apparently we're both afflicted with it.
Okay. Moving on to tight end.
What do you like?
Taylor's boyfriend is number one on my list and number one in my heart, or at least somebody's heart.
I think
Mark Andrews, TJ Hawkinson, Darren Waller, Sam Laporta, Dalton Kincaid, Dallas Goedert, Kyle Pitts, Jonnu Smith, and Evan Engram rounding out my top 10. Honorable mentions to George Kittle, Jake Ferguson, Noah Font, and Gerald Everett.
Okay, we got some overlap. I'll take it. I have Travis, the star of Taylor's next breakup album, at the top of my list. Followed by Mark Andrews, who had himself a very nice day last week. Sam Laporta, TJ Hawkinson, and Darren Waller round out the top five. Dallas Goedert checking in at six. Evan Engram, George Kittle, Dalton Kincaid, and Dalton Schultz. So all of the Daltons, come on down. You're in the top 10 this week.
Maybe she could call that breakup probably passed you by or something like that.
There you go, like that. Probably like drop the ball, might be a little too on the nose.
You drop the ball, you passed me by. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could do this.
Check back next week.
We got you, Taylor. We'll reach out.
Okay. Right. Send her a bracelet and see what happens. It's worked
for
some people. Okay. Tight ends to avoid, Logan Thomas, Cole Kmet, Kate Otten, Chig Okonkwo, Hayden Hurst, Hunter Henry, Taysom Hill, Buster Moreau, and Trey McBride and Mike Mayer all making my avoid list for this week.
Well, we have some overlap in the avoid list as well. Luke Musgrave and the walking boot ankle situation, not interested. Jonnu Smith, who, yes, is very involved in this Atlanta offense. I'm still not entirely sure how, why, and I think you have better options. Gerald Everett, injured, not great. He's going to try to play through, probably. I don't want any part of that. Chig Okonkwo in Tennessee, I don't know who's going to throw him the football. That's my biggest knock on him. Michael Mayer. Tough matchup. Kate Otten, Tyler Conklin, Trey McBride, Tyler Higbee, and Taysom Hill, just because, like, what are you? Are you tight end? Are you not? It's too much, so I'm staying away from all of it.
Okay, defenses, who do you like this week?
I like the Eagles. Despite the injuries, they seem to still be a functional defense, for the moment. The Ravens checking in at 2 for me, and the Jets at 3, followed by the Chiefs. You're playing the Broncos. It seems kind of obvious there. And the Jaguars at number 5. Then the 49ers, Seahawks, Lions, Dolphins, and your Giants coming in at number 10.
Okay, I've got Buffalo, the Eagles, Houston, Baltimore, Kansas City, the Chargers, Detroit, Miami, Indianapolis, and Atlanta as my top 10 defenses recommended for this week. So how about defenses to avoid? And I can already tell this is not going to be the week where all our picks match again.
Probably not going to be the week where all of our picks match. Staying away from the Texans, the Falcons, the Browns, the Bills, Chargers, Vikings, Colts, Cowboys, Saints, Titans. There are some higher scoring affairs coming down the pipe here, people.
Okay. I am staying away from a bunch of teams if I can help it. And those would include Denver, New England, Washington, Tampa, Las Vegas, Arizona, San Francisco, the Rams, Chicago, and Tennessee. Dishonorable mention to the Steelers, the Packers, the Saints, the Jets, and the Bengals.
There you go. It's an uninspired list. None of these inspire any confidence in us.
Shall we quickly rip through some game picks?
Let's get crazy. Let's look at some game picks. Let's see what we got going. Our always lovely Thursday night game.
I don't think this will be one of the better games on the slate. Tampa Bay traveling to Buffalo. Buffalo obviously upset, lost to New England. They've blown a couple games that game and the game against the Jets that they had no business losing this week, but I think they get back on track here in a big way. It's a Buffalo 31, Tampa 13.
I am actually taking Tampa to win this game, partially because of the Thursday night game. Yes, partially because the Buffalo defense is actually riddled with injuries and maybe not that great. It's going to be on the road, might be more of a ground and pound them kind of game, and the Tampa Bay defense is, like, actually good. I'm not saying Baker Mayfield's going to win this game. I'm just saying that Tampa Bay is going to win this game. And I think they're going to win it close, 24-21. We're off to a good start.
Moving right along. We're going to be
Things
two games into
well.
The room here because I'm actually going to pick the your Atlanta Falcons.
No,
to beat
don't
the
do
Tennessee
that.
Titans.
What?
It's happening.
Granted, Tennessee doesn't have a quarterback. They might not have a running back. They might not have a wide receiver.
You need one of them. You can't run the Wildcat the whole game. I mean, Derrick Henry would be, if you're going to run the Wildcat.
Are you kidding me? As
a
Giants fan, you're going to tell me you can't do that? You just say Saquon Barkley for a whole 3 quarters of football to do that.
I know, but they shouldn't
be
really,
done.
But I don't know. I just don't think it works here. I'll go with the Bijan's 27 and the Derrick's 21.
Well, I'm taking Tennessee because I'm not taking in Atlanta. I don't know who's going to play quarterback. I'm fine if that is Derrick Henry. That's okay. But I think Tennessee will find a way, probably defensively, to make a difference in this game, and Atlanta will do something dumb like back-to-back delay of game penalties or almost back-to-back delay of game penalties. I think Tennessee wins 28-20.
Maybe they can be offside for an onside kickoff.
Yeah, you know, why not? Get crazy, guys.
Okay, next up we've got Houston at Carolina. C.J. Stroud, as you alluded to, probably
very excited about
one of the more exciting quarterbacks to watch his development this year. Going up against the guy that was taken to pick ahead of him, Bryce Young. Stroud has had a much better rookie season so far, and I think that continues here. I think Houston does just enough to win this game on the road. I'll say Houston 24. Carolina 17.
Hey, we agree on something. I've got Houston 24, Carolina 20, so a little closer game. But, yeah, CJ Stroud, man, he's the real deal. I'm loving this.
can Trevor Lawrence, he of the, will he play or not? Oh, he just threw for 300 yards on a Thursday night game.
Yeah, very casually deal.
Travels now, takes the show on the road from New Orleans to Pittsburgh this week, and I think the outcome is going to be pretty much the same. They won three games in 10 days. I think it's going to be now 4 games in 20 days, as I think Jacksonville will win this one close game. Pittsburgh showing a little bit of life against the Rams last week, but I think Jacksonville is just a better all-around team. And even on the road, I'm going to pick them here. I'll say Jacksonville 27, Pittsburgh 24.
Yeah, I've got Jacksonville 27 and Pittsburgh 17. I'm not entirely sure they're going to be as functional, but, I mean, they look better than they have. That's just not saying an awful lot. So I think Jacksonville, healthy or not, they're getting Tank Dell back. That'll be exciting. I mean, there's a lot of good going on. When there's a guy named Tank on the field, good things happen.
A slim guy named Tank, which makes it even funnier.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
Okay. Next up, we've got one thing. It's, I don't know.
Right. He was built like a tank. He's not.
Well, it'd be something if Jalen Carter's nickname were Tank, you could say, okay, I get that. But Nathaniel Dell, not so much.
No.
But, hey, it's
nope.
His nickname. It's working for him, and he's having a good start to his career, so more power to him.
He's
all
got
right,
that going for him, so.
Dallas off their bye, hosting the Rams, and I think Dallas will get the post-bye portion of their season off to a good start here. I think it'll be a close game, and I think that the Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp duo will give Dallas some fits, but I think they've got a little bit too much on offense to for the Rams to handle. So I'll go with Dallas 28, Rams 24.
I bet Dallas scoring 30 points and the Rams scoring 28. I think this is going to be a bit of a hard-fought game, and the defenses won't be as stingy as they should be. There's a lot of injuries on both sides. But, yeah, Dallas needs to come back and win this to start to see the second half or second quarter off of the season well, coming off that bye week.
Okay. Minnesota, fresh off the Monday night upset of the 49ers on the road against Green Bay, which somehow lost to Denver. And I don't know, Jordan Love looked great the first few games, not so great last few games. Of course, Christian Watson and Aaron Jones haven't been around much this season, and I'm sure that has something to do with it, but Minnesota's defense looked pretty functional last night, and I'm going to pick them to be the difference here. I'll say Minnesota takes this one by a field goal. Minnesota 27, Green Bay 24, as the Vikings can probably start to claw back in the NFC Central race, although they're still a million miles behind Detroit.
They are still a few miles behind. I'm also going to take Minnesota. If this were a week ago, I would probably go the other way, but there's a lot of injuries on Green Bay. I mean, Luke Musgrave, is he going to play? The walking boot, Christian Watson's knee. I don't love that. So while I think there are a lot of warts on the Vikings, I think they will still somehow, some way, Kirk Cousins will pull one out of his hat. I think they win 27-24.
Okay. The exact same score on that one.
Yeah.
Miami hosting New England. New England fresh off the upset. And Miami fresh off their defeat to the Eagles. But I think their roles are going to be reversed this week. They'll return to form. I think Miami wins this pretty easily. I'll go with Miami by two touchdowns as Tua and the receivers and Raheem Mostert and pretty much everybody else on the roster has a big day. Miami 34, New England 20.
I've got Miami 33, New England 21, so we're kind of right in the same vein. The problem is they're going to be down big the whole game, and Mac Jones is going to make some throws that he shouldn't be making because he's taking too big of risks or he's just got too much pressure, and that's, I think, going to be the demise here. I don't think Bill Belichick can shut down both Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Raheem Mostert all in one shot. Just can't happen.
Okay, next up we've got Indianapolis hosting New Orleans, and I still like New Orleans' defense, but their offense just doesn't do enough to keep the defense off the field for long stretches of time. Indianapolis, Gardner Minshew, somehow it works, and I'll go with them by a touchdown here. I'll say Indianapolis 27, New Orleans 20, as Jonathan Taylor continues to get more involved than Michael Pittman and Josh Downs carry the passing offense load.
Yeah, I think for me the difference in this one is Jonathan Taylor. I think we saw some of those flashes last week. He's just going to keep getting more and more into this mix. And Joshua Downs is, I mean, great. So I think they've got good things to build on. Gardner can't throw four interceptions here, although he may very well. It's a defense that will pick him off repeatedly. So I think I've got Indy winning closer, 28-23. I just think they have more weapons right now.
And the Giants hosting the Jets in what's essentially a home game for both these teams since they're playing in the same stadium. But I don't know, this to me is a toss-up. You know, Jets probably have a little more offensive firepower even with Zach Wilson. But the Giants' defense has been better lately and seems like they're starting to get some guys like Wandale Robinson and Jalen Hyatt into the mix. So I'm going to be an optimist here and pick my team to beat the other New York team 27-24.
I've got them winning 27-20. So we're not quite as close, but I think they're going to score some points. I think Saquon's healthy-ish, and that's enough. And that the Giants defense looks like they want to be a respectable defense, and I would like to see that continue. I think they're probably fine with Tyrod Taylor another week and Daniel Jones get healthy and see what happens.
Okay, I think they have their bye after this week maybe. So if they rest him this week, then they'd have another two weeks for him to get right, hopefully. But just as an aside, I've had this conversation with several people this week about whether Tyrod Taylor should be starting over Daniel Jones, and you know, my answer to that would be no. I think Daniel Jones, you could argue he's not an elite quarterback, but you know, my main beef with him is just that he takes too many sacks, and I think part of that is because he hasn't had his offensive line this year. But anyway, I digress. Mm-hmm. I still think that if I could only have one of the two and I could have them both healthy for the rest of the season, that I'll pick Daniel Jones over Tyrod Taylor.
I would, too. And Tyrod Taylor is an incredibly good backup quarterback, and that is very much an important role in this league. But Daniel Jones has the capacity to be an elite quarterback. It helps to have any semblance of an offensive line in front of you. Helps with your decision-making, timing, things like that. Little things that make a big deal in a quarterback's career. So I'm curious to see what he looks like, either be it on another team or with, you know, at least like two or three guys in front of him that actually know how to do their job correctly.
And Aaron Rodgers and Eli Manning are supposedly going to play catch before the game, so Eli might not want to stray too far after he's done with that.
Yeah.
Just in case. He can
just
be the emergency quarterback on Sunday. Yeah. All right. Philadelphia at Washington. There are two games this week where I look at them, actually three, but this is one of them where I look at them and say this could easily be a three-touchdown difference. But, yeah, I just don't see how Washington keeps this close. I don't know that Ron Rivera is necessarily coaching for his job yet, but hopefully the new owner is a little more sane and patient. But yeah, this has been a pretty rough patch for them. I'll go with Philadelphia easily here. DeAndre Swift has a big game and takes some of the pressure off of Jalen Hurts. I'll say 34-14 Eagles.
Ooh. I'm going to go with 30-27. I think it's a close game. I think that Sam Howell makes him work for it. I think the Commanders' defense keeps him in it, and the leaky secondary situation for the Eagles is going to let one or two by. So I think that it's going to be a closer game, more competitive, but I think the Eagles come out on top.
Seattle hosting Cleveland. This could be an interesting game. I'm not sure what yes. the shootout that Indy and Cleveland was last week, but Seattle, they do just enough to win, it seems, and I think that will be the case here, too. I have them, I picked them by a field goal. I'll say Seattle 27, Cleveland 24, largely on the strength of Kenneth Walker, III, in the ground game.
Old Kenneth Walker, III. I'm actually picking Cleveland in a lower scoring game. I've got them winning 24-21. I'm concerned who's going to be quarterback at this point. I think it's more the defense at Myles Garrett that's going to be the issue here, especially because the offensive line for the Seahawks right now is absolutely atrocious. I'm worried for Geno Smith's livelihood, his health, his well-being. He's going to get killed this week, and it's going to be really sad. But like you said, Kenneth Walker is going to score some points, so it's going to take a little of this thing off, but they just won't have quite enough.
Hey, another game that I don't expect to be particularly close, Baltimore at Arizona, you know, Lamar Jackson. I'm sure he wishes he could just, you know, press pause, bottle that, and play like that every week. But we'll see. Maybe it's that they're finally more comfortable with their new offensive coordinator. Maybe he's more comfortable with them. Or maybe it was just a good matchup last week that they exploited. But I think I like Detroit's defense better than Arizona's. And they made Vince meet out of Detroit's defense, albeit at home. But I still think they win this game pretty easily. And Arizona just fell string until they can either get you know, kind of Murray back or drop Caleb Williams. But I'll go with Baltimore 30, Arizona 17.
It's the exact same score. I've got Baltimore 30, Arizona 17. I just think Baltimore's got more weapons. They're a little healthier, which seems silly to say Baltimore and healthy in the same sentence. But Arizona just is the walking wounded right now. And without Zach Ertz, like, that takes away a huge weapon here. So I think this will be a forgettable game for the Cardinals. Sorry, guys.
Okay. Cincinnati at San Francisco. San Francisco, which team are we going to see? Are we going to see the team that started off 5-0 or looked like one of the best teams in football, or the team that's stumbled the last couple of weeks and somehow lost to the Vikings and Kirk Cousins in primetime, which I know you're not a big fan of his primetime adventures.
No.
But anyway.
1 o'clock, yes. And the other time, no.
To me, this is a pick'em game that could go either way, so I'm going to pick the Bengals to keep the extending the 49ers woes. I'll say Joe Burrow has just enough offense up his sleeve, and Ja'Marr Chase runs wild, and Cincinnati wins this 30-27.
I've got San Francisco winning this 31-21. I don't think it's going to be that competitive. I don't think it's going to be that close. I think Joe Burrow is going to have a lot of problems with this defense. And Joe Mixon, the same. They're going to get slowed down enough. And even without Deebo Samuel, I think Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, I think they'll be able to run wild on that Cincinnati defense. I've got them winning 31-21.
Hey, another blowout in the making, at least on paper, is Kansas City traveling to Denver. And who knows, maybe weather is a factor here, but assuming that it's not, City wins this easily. I just can't imagine a scenario where Russell Wilson outplays Patrick Mahomes. Maybe Patrick Mahomes,
if
he were hurt, maybe Denver would have a shot. But even then, I'm not so sure. But I'm going to assume Patrick Mahomes stays in one piece and Kansas City wins this 37-17.
Maybe a 35-20. That some of that's just like mercy points. I'm not entirely sure how I justify they could get to 20, but I think they might. Garbage time is a beautiful thing. But again, this is just going to be a potentially snowy, not very warm and pleasant to play in game, and Kansas City is going to lead early and often.
Okay, another game between two disappointing teams, the Chargers hosting the Bears. Good on Chicago for, you know, winning last week. Tyson Beja is a great story, but I just, and the Chargers have well documented troubles winning games that they should, but this one, I just can't really imagine the scenario or script where Chicago wins this, so I'll go with the Chargers to win this pretty easily, 28-17. And as a Sunday night game, this is probably not quite what NBC was hoping for.
Probably not. I've got 28-13. I'm just a little more nervous. The Chargers have something to prove, and yes, they've found many, many ways to lose games, but they are a very talented team, and our old secret agent is got some film on him now, and it's not as much of a mystery, and I think that's going to be a problem for him. I think that Chargers defense is going to make his life a little more difficult, and thus the beatdown. Sorry, Chicago.
Okay, and then Monday night game, Detroit hosting Las Vegas. I have to say the Sunday night and Monday night offense, at least on paper, seem pretty uninspiring this week. But Detroit, you know, back off being embarrassed at Baltimore, I think they'll have no trouble riding the ship, especially against either Aiden O'Connell or Brian Hoyer. So I say Detroit wins this by at least two touchdowns. I'll be generous here, say it's only two, but I have a final score of Detroit 31 and Las Vegas 17 as Jahmyr Gibbs has a big night in complementing the passing game.
Yeah, I've got 30-20 Detroit winning. I don't think Vegas is on the same level as this Lions team, and I think that getting punched in the mouth makes people do crazy things, and we already know Motor City Dan Campbell's got a screw or two loose, so I think this team's going to come out feisty and hungry and looking for redemption, and Las Vegas is just the team that got the short straw this week, so sorry about that for you guys, because it's not going to be a great day, but we do have a couple of daily fantasy options for you to help improve your day for all you Raider fans and Bears fans and many other fans of this team this week. So you know who you want to put in your roster. You know who you want to spend money on. These are going to be some value picks to help you get there, to help you spend that money and win the money. That's what we're here for. At quarterback, value-wise, C.J. Stroud is what you're spending, the ROI, the return on investment you're getting is definitely worth it. Jordan Love, the price is right. Geno Smith, again, as long as he doesn't die behind his offensive line, is going to be a good pick for DFS. At running back, Isaiah Pacheco, Breece Hall, Kareem Hunt, all going to be good there. Wide receiver, George Pickens, this is strictly a volume play. He's getting the most looks out of everybody. Nico Collins keeps finding the end zone. Joshua Palmer, Terry McLaurin, even in a reach. Tight end, Gerald Everett, a little banged up, but if he plays, the value's right. Dalton Kincaid, Cade Otton. And defensively, the Jets and the Browns, both going to be pretty reasonably priced for you this week, get you some points. So we have given you everything, top to bottom, to fill any injury holes in your lineup, to your season-long, your daily dynasty, everything. We've got you. You can win every argument in the water cooler or in the group chat. We've got you covered six ways to Sunday. But, of course, if it's not enough, 1 week, 1 hour, it just isn't. Find us all over social media. We're on Twitter/X at the number 4, THN Inches Show, at JKIM16, and Fantasy_Sherpa. You can figure out which one's which there. You can email us at the number 4, THN Inches Show, at gmail.com. And you can find us on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page. And download this episode if you didn't hear the whole thing. You just want to listen again. Or any of our past episodes, anywhere you find your favorite podcasts. Thank you so much for listening this week, guys. We'll be back with you next Tuesday night. That is Halloween, with some tricks and treats and some spooky surprises for your lineups. So we'll see you next Tuesday night. Thanks again for listening, and good luck this week, unless, of course, you're playing us.